So, how are you today? Good? Having a good time? Wonderful. How am I doing? Thank you. Well, we are coming to more or less the end of the Congress. Only a few more hours. And for me, this will be the last session with you. And before I go into the questions, I just wanted to express my feelings, how much I appreciate this opportunity to be with you and to share these thoughts. England is very different from America because mostly in American gatherings, we get mostly youngsters, say roughly below 30. But here, it has been elevated a little. More matured audience. I say this because life itself is a school. We learn constantly. I tell people, university is not within a compound. What you really call university is the university. It is the entire universe. That is our university. University without boundaries. Infinite. And every individual is a student in the university. When you think that you are the student, all others are your professors. Every individual should think that way. I am the only learner here. I'm the only student. Everybody and everything, not only the bodies, things also, are my professors. They teach me every minute. Then you learn well. Because we can learn from anything and everything. If we care to learn. Because we have come to learn. Once we finish learning, we don't need the university. We don't need birth and death. We finished. There is a Hindu goddess, the name Saraswati. Many of you might have seen the pictures, with a beautiful veena in the hand. And in one hand, she has a book. So a devotee who was addressing Goddess Saraswati says, Saraswati, I'm amazed to see you, the goddess of wisdom, still learning. Otherwise, why should you be carrying a book with you? And I see that, what did we learn? No, what we learnt is only a small handful of the soil. What we haven't is the entire cosmos. Katradu kaimannalavu kalladu ulahalavu. What I didn't learn is the whole universe, the size of that. Because even you are still learning. Where is the limit then? That way, we don't even get into a sort of egoistic state. Oh, I am a teacher. No. In a way, the minute you are given a diploma as a teacher, then you begin to learn. Remember that. Don't ever think that your diploma makes you a teacher. Only then you are beginning to learn. And you learn more from your students. Yes. Just to give you an example. One day, I learnt a great lesson of what a karma yogi means from a broomstick. Can you imagine that? A broomstick taught me the real significance of a karma yogi. One day a lecture was organized for me and I just wanted to come earlier to see where I will be sitting, how the acoustics are, just to come and see the hall as I did the other day here. So the two friends who received me said, Swamiji, how do you think? What do you think of this hall? It's beautiful. You see? I hope we cleaned it well. We worked from morning. We tried to clean it as clean as possible. We can't even see a speck of dust anywhere. We worked from the morning up till now. And they were bragging about their greatness and clever action of having cleaned the hall. As they were bragging, all of us, the three of us, heard somebody giggling, laughing. Who is here laughing? Hey, who is here? No answer. Then they continued their conversation. Again we heard the giggling, laughing sound. This time we clearly heard it from a corner. And said, I think there is somebody hiding behind the corner. Come on, let's go and see. When we went to the corner, we didn't see anybody, but we saw just a broomstick. And we asked, are you the one who was laughing at? And the broomstick said, of course, it's me. Ah, what made you laugh at us? Well, what else can I do? Could you give us the reason? Well, it's embarrassing to say, but still, because you are asking, I'll tell you. Look at these two guys. They were bragging that they cleaned the whole hall. (Laughter) Look at me, I am all dirty. How did I become dirty? By collecting all the dirt in the hall. I dirtied myself to clean the hall. And I am not claiming the credit. But these guys are claiming all the credit for themselves. So I thought, oh, what else the human beings would do? I couldn't stop laughing. I'm sorry if I had done anything wrong. See, you got the point here. The broomstick, by getting itself dirty, it cleans others' dirt. And still, it is not there to claim the credit. I did it. No. That's why. A true karma yogi will go and relieve others' pain. And during that process, he may get pain. You get the pain while relieving others' pain, and still you don't claim the credit for it. What a great lesson a broomstick can teach us. Only if we care to learn. Yes. An apple tree taught me another great lesson. Once I was asking the apple tree, hey, how many apples you gave this season? Maybe about 1500 apples. Oh, it's a delicious apple, Macintosh. Yes, God made me that way. Having given 1500 apples to others, did you at least try one yourself? I asked the tree, and I said, what do you mean by that? Do you think I'm a human being? To eat my own fruit? I don't believe in eating my own fruit. Haven't you heard that God told Adam not to eat the fruit? I was standing next to him. I heard it. Since then I decided not to eat my fruit. I gave all my fruit to others. And you know, I didn't give the fruit only to the people who came to me and praised me. In fact, I gave more fruits to the fellows who threw stone at me. Apple tree gives more fruits when you throw a stone at it. I gave more fruits to the fellow who hit me with the stone. Yeah, but how come? Why can't you eat? Well, I'm not that intelligent to reason, but I believe in God. When God told Adam not to eat the fruit, I thought there must be some good reason. So I thought it might be good for me too, not to eat the fruit, so I decided not to eat. What a great lesson the apple tree teaches. As I said the other night, we are always up to looking for the fruit, enjoy the fruit for ourselves, by every little thing. Constantly somebody has to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, even for the little thing. We look for the result, look for the fruit. But the plants and animals teach us this great lesson. We are here to serve. We don't expect anything in return. If it comes, let it come, but we don't demand. If at all there is a law in the nature, this is that. Sacrifice is the law of nature. is the law of life. You ask anything and everything. Why are you here? What are you doing? Well, I'm just here to offer my life to others. Look at all these flowers. Ask them, why are they there? Well, I'm here to beautify the hall, not for my reason. I have no special purpose of my own here. And I don't look for any credit. See, the bunch of flowers sitting there, they are beautiful. They make us happy. But at the same time, they don't demand any recognition. It has never complained, look at Swami, I'm sitting next to you, almost equal to you. And you never looked at me and said, you were nice. You never admired me. I'm grumbling, I'm a little unhappy. No. And now we are talking about the flowers. It's not excited now the Swami is talking about me. No. It's still the same. Whether you ignore it or whether you praise it, it's still the same. To the bunch of flowers, praise and blame are equal. If you read the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, the last 20 verses, it's called Sthita Prajna Lakshanam. Arjuna, it was, as you all know, it's a conversation between Lord Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna is a student, Krishna is a teacher. Arjuna was asking Krishna, sir, we have heard a lot about sages, saints, yogis. How can I recognize them? They look like anybody else. Could you give me some hint, certain qualifications I can see in them? Siddha prajnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya kesava siddha dihi kim. He asked, what would he do? How would he sit? How would he talk? How would he walk? Certain signs to recognize. Then Krishna answers him, well, watch him carefully. The one and only quality that should be predominant is his tranquility under all situations. Sthita prajna. Sthita prajna means steady minded, ever steady, fully balanced. When you say balanced, between what? He says, Sita Ushna Suga Dukkha Samaha Sangha Vivarjitaha Tulya Ninda Stutir Mauni. He goes on giving the dualities, pleasure, pain, profit, loss, praise, blame. These are all the opposites, is it not? A sthita prajnan, a man of steady wisdom, a great yogi, should stay balanced between these two. Not you get excited when somebody says, oh, the Swami is a great person. Look at me. Or seem to be a joking fool, joker. I don't know why he came here. He gets depressed and he goes and locks himself in a door room and says, oh, nobody is appreciating me. No. It's up to you. Just the way you see it, fine. That's your view. Praise or blame should not affect him because he knows what he is. Profit and loss should not affect him because things come, and when they come, there should be a going also. And you welcome somebody, don't you want to say goodbye? Farewell. Is it not? When there is a welcoming party, there should be a farewelling party. Only then you farewell. Otherwise you are in trouble. When there is a coming, there is a going. When there is an up, there is a down. When there is a right, there is a left. The world is filled with these dualities. And that is what you call the wave, up and down, up and down. You get caught in it, you get upset. If you keep yourself balanced, you are set up. It's all. And on the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, again, it's labeled as Bhakti Yoga, Yoga of Devotion. There again, he gives more or less the same points. The question was, who is dear to you, Lord? Oh, Krishna, I know many devotees come to you. Who are the real close people, very dear to you? Other people who come in a big Rolls Royce, get down with a beautiful dress and bring golden plates filled with goodies, are the people who perform festivities for you, are the people who decorate you with jewels, are the ones who by heart your Bhagavad Gita repeated backward. Are the one who has long beard, are the one who has number of rosaries around the neck. Who is dear to you? Nonsense, forget about all that. Any rich fellow could do that. Those who have money can spend any way they want. They can buy more rosaries and put it around. They can come in double Rolls Royce, it doesn't matter. So then, who is dear to you, sir? There again it is, the one who keeps himself well balanced under all situations. Never gets affected by any of these dualities. Who completely trusts me and says, God has been giving me, it's here. God has taken away, it's fine. When you get big profit, you say, wonderful, I got a profit. When you have a big loss, oh, it's terrific. You see, I lost $50,000 now. You were so excited, because exactly like, why? Because God, you gave me, and God, you took it away. It's yours. When you decide to give me, you give me. When you decide to take it away, you take it away. How can I stop it? It's yours all the way. That way he keeps his mind balanced. Nothing can shake him. Remember, that is what is called yoga. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a definition for yoga. Samatvam yoga uchyate. What is meant by yoga? Samatva, samaha, equanimity, tranquility, balanced. We all look for tranquility, no doubt. Everybody wants tranquility. And of course, the doctors immediately prescribe. Get a bottle of tranquilizers. We look for tranquility through bottles. We look for spirituality through bottles. Spirituality. We look for it, but sometimes we look it in the wrong place, that's all. We are all interested in that tranquility, interested in spirituality. But again the Lord says, no, we don't have to look for it. We don't have to get it through pills and drugs and liquor. You have it already. I never wanted you to go after and get something from somewhere. I have given you everything. You have it already. It's your nature. Because you are my. I made you in my image. God made man in his own image. The Hindu scriptures also proclaim Jivo Brahmaiva na Aparaha. Jiva, the individual, is none other than the Supreme Brahman. It's the same thing here. Sort of miniature Brahmans, if you want to call it. You limit yourself and say, I am a small Brahman. But you have all the qualities of Brahman. A drop of water from the sea should have all the qualities of the entire sea. Right? When you want to analyze the sea water, you don't bring the whole sea into the house. You just take a drop and test it, analyze it. Likewise, we are all drops of the big ocean, Brahman. We have the same quality, same peace, same joy, same equanimity. We don't have to go after something to be happy. When we realize that, we are always at ease. There's nothing that would disturb our ease. Because after all, what is disease? Disturbed ease is disease. Who disturbed it? You. By your own wrong dealings, wrong thinking, you disturb your peace, you disturb your ease. And you find out the cause, find out the reason why you disturbed your ease and how, correct it, you are at ease again. So ease is your true nature, not disease. Disease is created by you. You have disturbed your ease. That's why when you are at ease, you have no complaints. Have you ever heard or seen anybody running to a doctor and say, Doc, I don't know, since the past 2 weeks, I'm all at ease. No. But the moment you disturb your ease, only then you run to the doctor. Doctor, I'm diseased. Do something to get back my ease. You see, that itself is the proof. When you are at ease, you have no complaints. Because you are staying in your own natural state. But the moment you disturb your ease, you need somebody to help you. Whether it is physical or mental. So, yoga is your real nature. You don't have to become yogis. Do you understand what I am talking about? You are by birth, by nature, yogis. But when you do things wrongly to disturb the yogic state, you become rogi. You know the meaning of rogi? Sick. Roga means sickness, not rogue. No. This English word rogue is different. Rogi means diseased person. Chaya rogam, for example. Rogam is a disease. Yogam
is the balanced state. Bhogam is the enjoyment. Then you are a good yogi, you can be a good bogi too. Yeah. Because we enjoy life. Only in your yogic state you can enjoy everything in life. That's why. Good and bad is what we make. If we know how to handle things, everything is good. If we do not know how to handle, everything is bad. That means to learn how to handle, we should have a neutral mind. Not a mind already prejudiced, leaning to one side. No, you should have a neutral mind. Only then you can understand things in their way properly. Like a judge. Judge should not be a relative of this party or that party. He should be neutral. That's why even in the court they hang a balance over the head. Right? A scale. Because your judgment should be impartial. Likewise, we use our mind to weigh things and people. Our mind is the scale. The minute you see somebody, look at that. Yeah, that guy reminds me of the other fellow who also had a long beard. Immediately you see this guy with that eye, and if you had a terrible experience with that guy, you begin to suspect this guy now. Prefixed ideas. That's not the way to judge people. You should judge from the neutral standpoint. So you have to keep your mind zero mind. It's neutral mind. That's why we say, if you want to understand something, zero in. Go to the very center of it. Don't take this side or that side. God's mind is zero. Yes, the very center of God is a big zero, is it not? G-O-D. The very center of God is zero. That's why they, God is nirakari, nirvikari, nirahankari. Is neither this, nor that. Zero, zero, zero. God is completely zero. Yeah. God has good qualities or bad qualities? Neither. God is like nature. Neither good nor bad. You can use God for good purpose or bad purpose. White magic or black magic. That's why the English word is so beautiful. Zero is the real God. Purnamata, purnamidam. Purna means fullness. Fullness also is zero. Emptiness also is zero. He is either nothing or everything. God is never something. But just because God is nothing, we find it hard to understand nothing. We have to see something. So, we want to see God in a different perspective. And the good people see God from this side. They read G-O-D. Because they are good people. Good, G stands for good. And there are devilish people. They stand on that side and they begin with the D. D-O-G. So very same God, good people it is God, bad people it is dog. But the letters are the same. Still the center is the same. Don't get offended that I am making God a dog. It all depends upon from which side. Are you right or left? Which party you belong to? And that is the reason why people who are on this side and read the God as dog, they bark at each other. What else would they do? If there is any barking in the name of God, please know that they are not seeing God, they are seeing simply dog. They are reading from the other side. They are using God in a different way, wrong way. But essentially, God is neutral. That is the reason why God gives energy to somebody to build that church. God gives the same energy to somebody to break the church. Where does he get the energy from them? To God, both are equal. One is a child, another one also a child. Maybe he's a spoiled child. He likes it, enjoy breaking the churches. He still loves you. Only he waits for him to change a little. So all this boils down to the qualification of yoga. Yoga means serenity, equanimity, balanced state. And that is your natural state. Do not disturb it. So all our practices are here to help us how not to disturb it. It's not how to get yoga or how to become God. You don't have to become. If you become something, you will be gone. Because becoming means be going. You are already that. Let's remember that. We are already yogis. Let's maintain our yogic state. Thank you. Now there is, let me... If you have not been given a special mantra by a guru, what mantra could you suggest we use? There are many general mantras. Normally, people call me and say, I want a mantra. I say, repeat Om Shanti. Beautiful mantra. Om Shanti. What else we need in the whole world? Peace. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. It's a neutral mantra, good for any religious person, whatever label you have, peace. Or if you are a person following a particular religion, you can use the name of a particular deity or person, prophet, say, Om Jesus. If you are a Christian, Amen, Amin, Amin. It's similar to Om. Hari Om is another common universal mantra. But as I said, mantra should be pleasing to you. you should be happy with the mantra. Then it is easy for you to pick up and work with that. At the same time, it should be elevating you. It should lift your thoughts. Because as you think, so you become. Even for meditation, they say, can I pick up anything to meditate? Sure, you can pick up anything, and what will you become? You'll become anything. I meditate on a black dot. Is that what you want to become then? Remember, as you think, so you become. Beware. Don't ever, ever pick up a monkey to meditate upon. Meditate, anything that you pick up should have good associations of thoughts. It should lift you. You should become a better person, more open, more loving, more generous. So mantras also should be like that. Something magnanimous. Something that would make you a broad-minded person. Now I think. You tell us we should be our natural selves, what we are, and not what anyone else expects us to be. Our culture imprints on us from the start, and our parents teach us to be what they want us to be. How can we undo the hang-ups this causes? Wonderful question. So, yes, the parents are there to teach us to become what they want you to become. That's why you don't like it. And that's the reason why when you are coming into the world, you come crying. Yeah. You come crying because look at the babies in the beginning. They are real born yogis, no? Their equanimity, their face shines, glows like an angel. So serene. They are not affected by these so-called dualities. When you are a little baby, your father might have won $1 million in the lottery. There was no excitement in the baby's face. The father might have lost $10,000. There is no depression in the baby's face. The baby could go and play with anybody and everybody. It may jump on the driver's seat. Or the so-called, in India you have untouchables, they call it. Some low-class people. To the baby it doesn't matter. It just goes and plays on them, on their lap. Or the relative. A lump of clay and a piece of gold is the same to a baby, is it not so? And that is what the yogic quality. So you are born yogis, but unfortunately you are not left like that. If you lose a clay doll and cry, the mommy will say, ah, honey, don't worry, forget it, I'll give you another doll. Just a clay doll, don't cry over it. Tomorrow you lose a golden doll. And mommy, you say, mommy, I lost my golden doll, can you get me another? What? You lost the golden doll? Why, mommy, yesterday you said, I lost my clay doll and you said you'll get another one. But that's clay. This is gold. You teach them the difference between clay and gold. See, you are imprinting them on their mind what is more worth and what is less worth. Unfortunately, the food grows only from clay, not from gold. So that is the reason why the child, when it comes, it knows that it's not going to be spared for long, so it comes crying. And when that comes crying, what do? We are so happy, we laugh, and hey, you have a son, distribute candies. Why, what is the reason? Why should they cry and you laugh? Because they know that they are getting into an insane asylum.